Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast all about your eyes. Today, I want to give you top tips for tired eyes. Going into the fall season, it's drier, and your eyes might look tired from summer sun, squinting, and all that bright light. The ultraviolet is actually pretty damaging to our corneas, our lenses of the eye, and causes us those crow's feet, crinkles, and sun damage. The thin skin of the eyes is so ultra paper, edges of tiredness, and certainly gets wrinkles. You might even notice in your 30s that you're having upper eyelid heaviness. That's quite common as your temporal fat starts to atrophy. And you might notice in your 35, 40s that you're developing hollows under the eyes. Some people even as early as 20 get these under eye hollows. Certainly by the time we're 50, we have lost some of the normal periorbital fat and the eye starts to sink into the orbit a little bit. So you get a little more sunken, deep set eye. You also have loss of some of the actual water content of the eye. So everything starts to get smaller, less hydrated, a little more crepey, a little more sunken. That's it. We're all becoming old. What can we do? Well, there's lots you can do. And since we're all staring at screens all day long, I think it's time that we start doing some of these things. So number one on my list of tips for tired eyes is take a screen break. Every 20 minutes, we need to be looking away from our desktop, our laptop, or our screen, ideally for 20 seconds and ideally at least 20 feet away. Did you know that rule? 20-20-20. If you want to have 20-20 vision and you don't want to have chronic nearsightedness, take a break from your screen and look at least 20 feet away, out the window, away from your desktop. Let the eye unfocus because that chronic hyperfocus tension on the lens can lead to early nearsightedness and tears in the retina. Number two, get more sleep. This might be the hardest thing to try, especially if you're working from home, if you're addicted to Netflix, or you have little kids running around you. Getting more sleep is critical. This is the time when your eye gets to really lubricate the tears, get to rehydrate the cornea, and the blinking stops. So you really get nice improved circulation in the nighttime when your eyes are sleeping. When you wake up in the morning, you might feel a little more puffy just because you've been not blinking as regularly. And your eyes do need to contract to have the lymphatic tissues drain properly around the eyes. When you first wake up in the morning is a great time to do lymphatic massage. I highly recommend it. I use my eye cream. It's called Revitalize. It's awesome. It's one of the only eye creams that has Retin-A in it. And this is intended to improve crepey textural change around the eyes and build more collagen. The stronger the collagen content of the skin, the tighter the skin can hold in the orbital fat pads, the less we get bulging, protruding, eye bags under the eyes. So it's very important to have strong skin, good elasticity, and improved lymphatic drainage around the eyes. Doing that milking lymphatic drainage where you start medially and milk laterally using a good eye cream is really going to wake up your eyes every morning. If you've had under eye filler, it's mandatory. Even if you haven't had under eye filler, I still think it's mandatory to do some lymphatic massage to wake up your tired eyes. Next one is try to use a humidifier at night to combat the dry skin and add moisture to the air. As we get closer into winter, we spend more time indoors. The air is recirculated and hydration, mistiness in the air around us is really going to soothe irritated skin. It's very beneficial. The eyes are so thin. The skin of the eyes is so thin and so delicate. It lacks oil glands. So one nice trick that I do actually is after I put my eye cream on my bedside table, I have Vaseline, good old Aquaphor or Vaseline. Amazing. It truly seals in moisture and it lubricates and coats the eyes. And it's a little messy, but you get used to it. And I think it gives that added layer of locking in moisture that really improves the eyes over time. So I love that trick for lips. Periorbitally for upper and lower eyelids, as well as for lashes and brows. Amazing and easy. You can use makeup like white eyeliner on your waterline to brighten the eyes. Remember that every time you put makeup on, it's super nasty inside your eye. If you ever looked inside your eye on a slit lamp eye exam at the ophthalmologist's office, you would be horrified to see what mascara does to the eye and what the floating pieces of eyeliner and eyeshadow and everything else that gets into your eye when you put makeup on. Girls, we're at a very bad disadvantage. We really are putting a lot of crap in our eyes. So if you're someone who uses eye makeup, great. It looks lovely. It enhances so much of your beauty. But when you get home, take that all off. Take that all off and make sure you remove the waterproof stuff. And make sure you get a little splash of water in the eye to wash out the actual, conjunctiva, where a lot of makeup gets trapped and really irritates the eye, giving you redness, puffiness, and allergic irritations of the eye. I don't recommend Visine or Lumigan or these products that brighten the eyes with eye drops. They're vasoconstrictors, and you can use them once in a while. Like you're getting married, you're going on TV, put your Visine in. Look really bright-eyed. But if you use it every day, like some of these companies want you to buy eye drops that dilate your eye and make your eye more wide and pretty, that make your redness shrink, it's bad for your eye. Anything that chokes your circulation on a regular basis to blanch the tissues is not good. And think about cooling it down. Number six, I think we're on six. When you put anything cold on an area like iced cucumbers, green tea bags, ice cubes, things that have been chilled, they're really going to improve and constrict rapid blood flow to the eyes. That thin, thin tissue allows blood to be superficial. When we put the cold on, it really shrinks things down and improves swelling and puffiness. I love the idea of changing your diet. Number seven. Too much intake of salt contributes to fluid retention. And this ultimately shows up as puffy eyes, puffy filler. If you've had under eye filler, one of our cardinal rules is to avoid salt, avoid alcohol, and definitely take your antihistamine daily, especially during allergy season. It's so important to do the lymphatic massage. But salt is one of those enemies that once it gets into your tissues, takes so long to get out. That's one of the reasons I love infrared sauna and infrared blankets and going into the steam room or, you know, doing things that really make you sweat like hot yoga. Like there's no better way to lose too much salt that you've retained due to, you know, eating salt in the evenings or eating too much salt in your diet. That's me. That's me at night, like choking down the Cheez-Its at midnight. That's my favorite go-to snack, by the way. And inevitably, I've had a long day. I've been fasting, and I think I'm somewhat mineral depleted, and my body is craving salt. And then I have the Cheez-Its, and then I have to do the lymphatic massage in the morning when I feel puffy. So live a little, but eat salt a little less. I got to work on that. Then next up on the list of top tips for tired eyes is think about under eye filler. If you are not ready for eyelid surgery, under eye filler is an excellent way to improve deep hollows. It softens the junction between the eye bag and the cheek, making it look less visible and less like an eye bag. And it generally just makes you look brighter and instantly more refreshed. Under eye filler is not for everyone. If you're someone who has festoons or deep malar edema pads around your cheeks and eyes, if you have too much skin that slacks, if you have too much fat pad, then common sense will tell us that probably you're a surgical candidate. But if you're somewhere in between, or maybe you're just very young and you have deep hollows, you're middle-aged and you're noticing changes, like you're a good candidate probably to do under eye filler. The vast majority of people can. But use small amounts, start with a half a syringe per side, and recommend to do several sessions spread out over time. There's no rush with under eye filler. We don't want to overfill and overbloat the face. It's so important to go slowly. These fillers absorb 1,000 times their water weight, and they're very likely to swell if we use too much of them. So the other tip that I have, number nine, would be think about surgery. One of my favorite surgeries is blepharoplasty, upper and lower eyelid blepharoplasty. It's such an elegant and beautiful surgery. When there's too much skin hanging, giving you upper eyelid heaviness, why not tighten and trim it? And the incision is buried within the orbital crease, so it's not visible. Stitches are in place for a week. It's about an hour-long surgery. You go home with stitches. They last about a week. The bruising is pretty minimal, and people heal just beautifully. And it just really opens the eyelid crease. It allows you to wear makeup again. If you're someone who's waiting and saying, like, I'm just going to wait till it's really bad and then do it. I'm going to wait till insurance covers it and then do it. Well, what's the point of getting it done when you're, you know, 90 years old? There's no point. You need to do these things now to enjoy your youth and look good while you feel good, while you're active, while you're safe to have an anesthesia, and while your body's going to heal well. I mean, I can certainly sew crepey tissue paper, Kleenex quality tissue paper together and get a good tight result. But if your skin turns that crepey with time and age, you're going to have worse results than if we took care of your skin when it was thick, pliable, and young with good springy elasticity. Like this season's bathing suit, not like 2 years ago's bathing suit. So you want to operate on skin that's really young with good elasticity to heal well and have great results for the next 10 years. A good blepharoplasty can last 10 years. Don't do just the uppers or just the lowers. Generally speaking, we have to do both. Almost inevitably, if we listen to a patient who only wants to do their upper lids or only wants to do their lower lids, there's just a disconnect. It's almost like you've changed the drapes, but the carpet then looks old. You change the carpet, the drapes make the room look bad. You got to do both. You got to age at the same rate on both the upper and lower eyelids. And I think this is such a great procedure. Cost-wise, it ranges depending on where you are, but anywhere from $5,500 to $8,500 for upper lids, and lower lids might sometimes be a little bit more, but highly recommend it and highly recommend doing it young. And last on the list, of course, is upgrade your skincare. Remember, you're not 20 anymore. You don't need to stop at Target to get your skincare. If you're shopping still at Sephora, and if you've upgraded to Nordstrom's level stuff, well, I'm sorry to tell you, Target, Sephora, and Nordstrom's all have ingredients that are not prescription physician strength ingredients. They are definitely watered down. They are not the high grade, high concentrated ingredients that are going to give you really advanced results. I love my Revitalize. It's proven to improve fine lines, wrinkles, dark circles, puffiness. It has all trans retinol, one of the retinols that really penetrates the surface of the skin to increase your firmness and elasticity. And I love that my skincare has so much plant-based green tea polyphenols. These calm and soothe the irritated skin and have the highest concentration of EGCG, which is such a potent antioxidant present in green tea. Also has vitamin K, arnica. These things diminish the appearance of discoloration. And after 8 weeks, you will be impressed with how smooth and beautiful the skin is going to look. So definitely a call to action. If you don't have a good eye cream, start now. If I could talk to my 20-year-old self, I would say start now with a good eye cream, because that would have saved me a little bit of problems and a little bit of, you know, skin laxity, a little better texture, tone, and less hollowness. So think about these solutions, all of these solutions. They're all great things to do to help with minimizing under eye dark circles, discoloration, puffiness, to look less tired. These eyes are the window to the soul. This is how everyone's going to connect with you. I want you to have the most beautiful outlook on life and the most beautiful eyes. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. That's where you can find me doing amazing things with people's faces. And the website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can check out my Revitalize Eye Cream. If you listen to the podcast and it's giving you some value, I would love it if you would rank, rate, and review the podcast. It's so important to me that I'm changing people's lives and I'm helping. It's so much fun when I run into my followers and listeners and they tell me that they listen to the podcast and it really helps them. So I'm working hard to make sure I give you guys great content. Would love you to leave a review. Rank, rate, and review the podcast. Screenshot that. Email it over to info@beautybydrk.com, and we will send you a lovely deluxe size sample of our skincare out of our gratitude. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.